This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
The temporary worker program I am proposing today represents the best tradition of our society, a society that honors the law and welcomes the newcomer. This plan will help return order and fairness to our immigration system, and in so doing...
I beg your pardon. That is the wrong clip. Hi. We wanted to run the statement of Prime Minister Iyad Alawi, Iraqi interim prime minister, saying, I would like to assure the Iraqi people these are isolated incidents. We're going to face them and we're going to defeat them. We're going to crush them and we are not going to allow the Iraqi people to be injured and to be undermined. The prime minister was responding to the wave of violence that swept through Iraq on Thursday that killed more than 100 Iraqis and injured 100 more. Senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And the transfer of power to Iraq's transition government occurs Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as we noted, there was vast violence on the ground there this week, including the beheading of a South Korean man, Kim
yes.
Sun-il. What does this upturn of violence, you think, portend for the days following the handover?
Okay, just before I answer that question, let me just to keep up with what's going on. In Istanbul, the 26 NATO countries are meeting, and they have just decided, must be good news for President Bush, that they will provide training for the Iraqi forces. The bad news is that's all they have agreed to provide. That's to say, no more troops from the NATO countries. As to Iraq's future after next Wednesday, there is no sign that the insurrection will abate. There's one slightly hopeful development that there are signs of division among some of the insurrectionists between the indigenous ones and the people who come from abroad. There are groups who want to join the insurrection and put Al-Qaeda in the head of it. And while it is not all very happy-looking, at the same time, the fact that there are different groups of insurrectionists and not necessarily agreeing with each other, and that there are some who think that killing 100 Iraqis in a day is not the way to do anything, perhaps there will be some splits there that may be important.
Mm-hmm. And some religious leaders have, in fact, announced those violent
acts. That's right. That is right. There is a growing division between those Al-Qaeda people, or people sent there who come from other countries, and the ones who are really Iraqis.
One of his last acts as administrator, Paul Bremer, extended what's called Order 17 that gives immunity to U.S. troops from prosecution in Iraqi courts.
Mm-hmm.
If, for example, Iraqi civilians are killed or Iraqi property destroyed in military operations. Does this undercut the claim of full sovereignty?
Well, undercut. It does to a certain extent. If you give your forces extraterritorial status in a country, that is a concession from absolute sovereignty. Still, let me point out there are precedents. When I worked in Germany in the 60s after World War II, we had American occupation forces there, and when the time came to join NATO and turn against the Soviet Union, they became a protective force. And there was something called a status of forces agreement with West Germany, it was then, which provided certain exemptions and exceptions from German law for American troops. That is about what is happening in Iraq today. What's interesting, though, is at the same time that the United States decides that we're going to ask for certain protections for our troops from Iraq, they have for the first time agreed to accept the International Court of Justice and are no longer insisting on immunity from that.
Mm-hmm. This is at the United Nations this week.
At the United Nations, right.
Same week, the Justice Department declassified and released several hundred pages of legal memorandum pertaining to interrogation tactics that were reportedly acceptable for use in detainees from Iraq and Afghanistan. They had resisted release of these documents. Why do you think they came out now?
Oh, I think the simple answer is Abu Ghraib. That is to say, those pictures of abused prisoners have done such damage to the American image all over the world that apparently it was decided that some concession had to be made from the rigid refusal to submit to any kind of international dictate. And I think that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. A State Department report that was first released in April said that worldwide terrorism decreased in 2003. The report was revised this week. to reflect just the opposite, that acts of terror around the world reached a 21-year high last year. Now, Secretary of State Powell said that he didn't, doesn't know how the incorrect figures got into the initial report.
Yes. Occupational and accounting errors, he called them. Sounds like Enron.
Well, what do you make of this?
Well, are you asking me not to believe Colin Powell, a fellow alumnus of City College, New York, where they taught us not to lie? I'm willing to believe that Colin Powell didn't know about it. I'm willing to believe President Bush didn't know about it, and that both of them are very chagrined now to find out that instead of a decrease in terrorist incidents, there has been an increase in terrorist incidents. That's all you can say. I mean, somebody did. It's hardly possible to believe that people who work every year on putting out these the work on how many terrorist acts there have been could go so far wrong without somebody wanting to do that.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you about the U.S. Supreme Court week, busy week for the court. They had opinions on Vice President Cheney's case and on patients who want to sue their HMOs for damages.
Right.
What did these decisions hold?
Well, the HMO decision is interesting, among other reasons, because it's a unanimous decision, and it is if your managed care plan refuses to pay for a treatment that your doctor says you need, you cannot sue the HMO for what happened to you. That's the way the law reads, since Congress has so far failed to pass a patient's bill of rights, and that's it. It's the law. The law doesn't look very happy for poor people who get sick, but there you are. The Cheney decision was the court decided to send back to the lower court for further work the demand for release of the Energy Task Force records that were headed by Vice President Cheney early during the Bush administration. Mm-hmm. That effectively kicks the can down the road until after the election, which is about all that the administration really needed at this point. Maybe if the Supreme Court justices knew the kind of language that Cheney uses, they might have decided differently. That's a joke.
Yeah, no, I understand. But let me follow up a little bit, of course, because it was reported that Vice President Cheney, I guess they were posing for what's called the class picture on the
right.
Floor of the Senate, and Senator Leahy of Vermont and Vice President Cheney had words. And Mr. Cheney, Vice President Cheney, extended an invitation. Which would have been, I think, impossible for the senator to accept. Let's
don't
put it that
don't
way.
Even try to finish that sentence.
Yeah.
Yes. What did I have to say? It's clear that Democrats have made Cheney kind of a butt of their contempt in certain cases, and that Cheney doesn't take that lightly. And while you're supposed to take what happens between politicians as being not personal, he decided to make this personal. And right there on the floor of the Senate, mm-hmm. There was Vice President Cheney saying all these things. And not only that, but now he says...
Well, one thing in particular, I believe.
He said, and now he says he's glad he did it and he feels a lot better having done it.
And finally, President Clinton's memoir, My Life, broke opening day sales records for a nonfiction title all over the country. And Michael Moore's new movie, Fahrenheit 9/11, is in theaters now and is beginning to get a good box office. It's expected to break records for documentary films. What do you make of this interest?
Well, I haven't yet read the one or seen the other, but what I make of this is that we're living in an amazing age where people want to learn through the media the inside stories of the presidents, and there's money in it.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.